I'm going to give a Christmas message. Today's message is called When Hope Was Born. And it comes from Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But first I want to read Malachi 4, 5 and 6. It says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the hearts of their children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." And then they had 400 years of silence. Could you imagine God saying, "I'm going to strike the land with a curse," and then not speak for 400 years?
See, the 400 years of silence refers to the time between the Old Testament and New Testament, during which God did not speak to the Jewish people.
The 400 years of silence began with the warning that closed the Old Testament. This ended with the coming of John the Baptist, the Messiah's forerunner. Between the time of Malachi and the coming of the Messiah, several prophecies were fulfilled, including 2,300 days of desecration between 171 and 165 BC. However, the people didn't put to good use their either the fulfillment of prophecy, nor the 400 years the nation was given to study Scripture and to seek God. They didn't do anything for 400 years. What do we do with our time? They had 400 years to study and to seek God and to read, but they didn't. In fact, they didn't even prepare for the coming Messiah. They didn't even do that. And they knew he was coming because it's all in the Old Testament. By the way, these three children are our grandkids. Aren't they cute? See them running around. So, in fact, those years were blinded and deafened the nation to the point where most of the Jews could not even consider the concept of a humble Messiah. They had lost their hope. 400 years later, hope was born. Amen. Galatians 4, 4, 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Matthew 2. Thought I had Matthew. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he started gathering all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people in Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent to them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may go and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." See, after Jesus' birth, Matthew tells us that wise men from the east
came to Jerusalem to worship the one born as the King of the Jews. Remarkably, these magi have been guided by their astronomical observations. And that's what they were. They follow the stars and astrology and all that craziness. Bless you. So, but from the east indicates a likely homeland in Babylon, where there was great interest in the astrology, and but a large Jewish community from the time of the exile. But they also could have came from Persia or Arabia. See, God calls his followers from unexpected places. Amen? All the time. He's been doing it forever. So don't be surprised if God calls you to do something. Don't be shocked. See, in contrast to the stable in which Jesus was born, Jesus and his family now lived in a house. We see this in Scripture. The Magi may have traveled between 1.5 to 2 years to reach Jesus. We really don't know how long it took to reach Jesus. But the nativity scenes aren't totally accurate. Even ours out there. They're not totally accurate. This shows the Magi visited Jesus after the shepherds described it by Luke. Herod wanted all male children 2 and under murdered. Jesus may have been a toddler at this time. But this isn't the first time, however, that Jerusalem entertained a special guest from the east. The Queen of Sheba visited Jerusalem to pay homage to Solomon by bringing gifts of gold, spices, and precious stones. Her visit foreshadows that of the Magi. In this regard, the Magi stand within a larger biblical trajectory, though. Because they're coming. She came to worship Solomon. They're coming to worship the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the Gentile dignitaries visiting Jerusalem to pay homage to the Son of David. The story of the wise men identifies Jesus as the greater Son of David. I got to get caught up on my things. Got all into the message and forgot about the Scripture. Even if Israel won't worship her long-awaited Messiah, the Gentiles will. The Gentiles will. The story of the wise man confronts us with this critical question. How do we respond to the news of the birth of Jesus? How do we respond? We celebrate Christmas, right? But the birth of Jesus, we need to share Jesus. And we talked about the past couple weeks, the significance and why Jesus had to be born as a man, come as a baby. See, the angel's announcement certainly got the attentions of the shepherd keeping watch over those flocks by night, but it was something else that sent them hurrying toward the manger in Bethlehem. It was something else. The star of wonder guided the Magi across the miles, but it was something else that fueled their journey. It was the same thing that compelled Anna to remain in a temple in Jerusalem day after day after day, year after year after year, to prophesy about the coming Savior. It was the same thing that quickened Simeon's heart when he encouraged Mary and Joseph and their infant son at the temple. But what was it? It was hope. It was hope. They had hope in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ. It was hope. Romans 15:12. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope." Who's Gentiles? Us. We're the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles. See, for most of human history, hope lay nearly dormant. Wasn't there. So it's like a still pond, right? When the wind blows, you see a still pond, and you see the wind blows, there's just a couple ripples, and then they stop. When Jesus was born, it was like taking a boulder the size of this building and dropping it in the middle of the lake, and those ripples are still rippling out from his birth today. That's the effect that it has. His birth.
Those in the immediate vicinity, the shepherds and the magi and the faithful servants of God like Anna and Simeon, who were blessed to witness his arrival, were drenched in hope.
We're drenched in hope
from his birth. But not all of them fully understood the implications of his birth. But they recognized that something momentous had occurred. They recognized this. They seen this. The waves of hope that were created by Jesus' arrival continue unchanged to this day. And as we celebrate the season, let us consider three aspects of hope that Jesus' birth made possible. So one, we have hope in a renewed relationship with God. Our disobedience created a gorge between us and God, whose holiness sets him apart from imperfection and whose justice demands perfect sacrifice. And that's the sacrifices for sin. And Jesus is that sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. His coming made it possible for sinners to be reunited with our Heavenly Father. We miss that in the birth of Jesus. We can have that hope. We can have that hope.
1 Peter 3:8 explains it this way. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God.
That's reconciliation. That's reconciliation. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
Romans 5:10 says, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
His birth always, we have, because of his birth, we have hope of the Holy Spirit. The birth of Jesus set the stage for the coming of the Holy Spirit.
There we go. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I had said to you.
See, the Holy Spirit acts as our conscience and guide. He encourages us to make God-honoring choices and prompts us to confess when we sin and ask for forgiveness. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do that. Without the birth, the Holy Spirit is throughout the whole Bible. It's God. But Jesus said, I will send.
The Helper.
Without the birth and the death and resurrection of Jesus, he could have never ascended to the Father. We would never have the Holy Spirit indwelled in us as we do today.
So we have hope in the Holy Spirit. And he translates the inexpressible desires of our hearts into our prayers. And according to Romans 15:13, the Holy Spirit is the wellspring of hope in our lives.
And it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will find you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do each of you overflow with hope? We have to. Amen? We gotta
have that hope.
It's a rough time. It's a rough time. We have to have hope. We can't hope in the world because the world just offers nothing.
We have to have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen?
And because of that hope that we have in Jesus, we can have hope of eternal life. Because of his birth, hope was born. We can have that hope of eternal life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus gives us that hope in eternal life.
A very familiar passage of Scripture puts it this way. John 3:15. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him.
That's our hope. That's our hope.
Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, the personal relationship with God that Jesus' arrival made possible has no end. It has no end. Because Jesus came, we have the hope of heaven, of spending eternity in the glory of God's presence.
Amen.
And I got to be honest with you, I can't wait to see Jesus. And to the loved ones that I have in heaven with Jesus. That's our hope. That's our hope. Our hope is in that if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we are going to see him and our loved ones that received him before they died. Romans 6:22 says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Titus 1:2. "In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time." See, our hope in eternal life is a promise from God. All our hopes are promises from God. God doesn't break his promises. The Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed, "I give them eternal life, and that they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Both Jesus and the Father have us firmly grasped in their hand, and who could possibly separate us from the grip of both the Father and the Son? Nobody. That's a promise of God. That's a promise of God. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that believers are sealed for the day of redemption. If believers didn't have eternal security, the sealing could not truly be unto the day of redemption. But it would only be to the day of sinning or apostasy or disbelief. Right? It would only be to that day where our faith falters. No. It doesn't. We can't lose that which is promised to us. John 3:15 tells us again, whoever believes in Christ Jesus will have eternal life. It doesn't say maybe. It says will have eternal life. Can't have it taken away, or it would have never been eternal to begin with. If eternal security is not true, then promises eternal life in the Bible would just be an error. Our eternal security, the promise of God through Jesus, our hope, when hope was born, we got that. And the promise of God through Jesus is based on God's love for those whom he has redeemed. Our eternal security is purchased by Christ, promised by the Father, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we're going through these bad times and we got the virus and we got all this stuff going on, and we got 400 people being killed by a typhoon in the Philippines. You see it everywhere, what's going on. We're in the season. Our hope cannot falter. It can't falter. We have to have hope in Jesus. We have to have the hope that we get from his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. That's where our hope comes from. I do a lot of funerals. A lot of funerals. As Christians, we don't grieve as those with no hope. We just don't. But as Christians in everyday life, we can't go through life with no hope. As people that don't have Jesus do, we have to have the hope in Jesus Christ. Luke 1:31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Hope has a name. Amen? We don't hope in something that's not real. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of religions out there, that hope in falseness, in hope in false gods, in false idols. Our hope has a name. Jesus. Jesus. That's where our hope has to be. It can't be in things. It can't be in stuff that doesn't exist. And after this difficult year, I really believe 22 is going to be a better year. I really do. We have to allow God to be in control. We have to allow God to walk before us. Amen?
Amen.
I know an elderly lady, and she's with the Lord now. I used to tell her all the time, "You're going to be with Jesus." I hope so. I hope so. I hear so many people say that. When you die, you're going to be with Jesus.
If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the promise of eternal life. Don't hope you're going to see Jesus. Well, I hope so. No, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus. Don't hope you're going to get there. Don't hope you can get a ticket and your flight's not canceled. Right? Be sure. The word tells us it's a promise of God. It's a promise of God. Because of his birth, we have hope in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
If you would like prayer, or you've never given your life to Jesus,
to have that hope, to have that
hope has a name in Jesus. If you don't have Jesus and you don't have that hope, I ask that you come on up and allow me to pray for you. God's moving. God's moving. I can just feel 22 being a better year. God's moving here. God's moving among our congregation, among people I know. And we've got to hope and know that Jesus, right, goes before us.
Amen.
Lean not on your own understanding. We gotta lean on Jesus' understanding. We acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. Straight. We make it crooked. Right? We did it. Fall off the curb, break an ankle. I did it on our wedding day. Curb on this side. I thought I broke my ankle. We get to this way. It's all good. So, but if you need prayer, well, Jesus, come on up and allow me to pray for you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you again and just give you all the glory and all the thanks for today and, Lord, just for sending your Son to be born, to die and be buried, to resurrect. Lord, he defeated death, that we no longer have to fear death because of you. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this service. I thank you for all those that are here. Lord, I just ask that you be with each person as they leave, as I lift them up to you. And say, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. We all say,
Amen.
Amen. Go with God.